It's our privilege tonight to have the missionaries with us. Brother Mormon has been kind of chauffeuring them around, and he's kind of at the mercy of how the churches take care of them. So we fed him a poor man's supper over there tonight. But Brother Mormon, I'm going to ask you to come up and kind of introduce the men to us. How are you going to do it tonight? And we appreciate your time and effort. A lot of these men have been away from home a good while, and we appreciate them coming to be with us tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Carter. What a joy to be here again. We appreciate so very much Landmark Baptist here in Haines City. Do you think you can do anything for the Lord that He doesn't take note of? Do you? You think God cares about what you sacrifice for missionaries? He cares, doesn't He? Brother Scotty reminded me that, you know, every time you and I give an offering and it goes to a certain missionary field and that missionary wins somebody to Christ, we just tear off a coupon. Because we're going to see our reward one day. Jesus said, I come quickly, and I what? I bring my reward with me. So you can't do anything but what God doesn't see it, doesn't make record of it, and doesn't have a plan to bless you for it. We have three men tonight. We have Chad from the Philippines. We have Joseph from Kenya, and many of you will know Peter from India, a 2008 graduate here of the school. So we're going to have them, first of all three of them are going to come up, and they're going to sing for us, or do singing in their language, and then we're going to have Chad take a few minutes, and we'll have Joseph, and we'll let Peter finish off our evening. Thank you so much, Pastor.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Ako'y nakasiguro nga musunod ni Jesus. Ako'y nakasiguro nga musunod ni Jesus. Ako'y nakasiguro nga musunod ni Jesus. Padayon lang, padayon lang. Tuana seye na luo Yesu. Toana seye na luo Yesu. Toana seye na luo Yesu. Unge dokien, unge dokien. Itzap kami de Jesus aswira. Itzap kami de Jesus aswira. It's up to me, Jesus, I swear. Malan lage, kalan lage.
Toana seye, na luo Jesus. It's up to me, Jesus, I swear. Toana seye, na luo Jesus. Malan lage.
Good evening. If not for a missionary, I will not be here tonight. There are two missionaries that you have sent to the Philippines, I think in the 1950s, that was used by the Lord as an instrument so that me and my family got saved, my father and my mother. And they are Fred Nall, missionary Fred Nall, and missionary Bob Hughes. And I'm thankful for the Lord for the work that they have done and to bring the gospel to the Philippines. My name is Chad Mahinay. I am in the southern part of the Philippines in an island called Mindanao. I have been a pastor now for 12 years. The name of my church is Bible Baptist Church in Surigao City. And I got saved in a Sunday school class. One time, the Sunday school teacher taught a lesson about hell. And I am so afraid of that word. That's why I want to make sure upon myself that I am saved on that day. And I know, and I know, and today I know that when the trumpet will sound, I will be in heaven. My work is in the islands. There are 7,600 islands in the Philippines. More than 7,600 islands in the Philippines. And I do believe there are more during the low tide. And one of the islands that I'm working, I am in the a city that is an island city. And Surigao City is an island city. And I have a burden to reach the island. And presently, we have 5 churches that have established there and 7 mission works that are presently over there. There is one particular place in that island that always challenged me when I pass by. It is called as the Philippine Deep. It is the second deepest part of the ocean in the whole wide world. Every time I pass by, I'm thinking positively that my sins is already covered by the blood of the Lamb. And on the other hand, I know that there is a place much deeper than that place, and it's called hell, that people will go. And I will, if I will not preach the gospel to those islanders, they will be in that place forever and ever and ever. Well, I'm so thankful for you Americans for sending missionaries. I am a missionary because of a missionary. And it is just the gospel presented to me. That's why I can sing. I can stand on this holy book. I can sing your song. I have the same faith like as you have, because someone from you came and sacrificed and lived with us, preached the gospel to us. That's why I got saved. And I know in heaven there will be Filipinos and other nationalities that will be together in heaven, because God loved the whole world. God bless you tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church and all congregation. My name is Joseph Njega. I come from Kenya. I have my wife and 5 children. Kenya is a big country with 43 different dialects. I have my dialects. My life, I grew up in non-Christian family. In Kenya, we live in southwest of Kenya, near Lake Victoria, border of Kenya and Tanzania, very far with our capital city, Nairobi. There, people are very poor. No any kind of development, no roads, no electricity, but I was born there. My father, my dad, my mom, they used to worship idols. And when I grew up, when somebody was sick in this home, the only solution is to call a witch doctor. So witch doctors in this area behave like they are God of that area. So that area is the hardest area in part of Kenya, because people go and hide themselves in the islands of Lake Victoria, because very difficult for a government or forces to reach there. When somebody did something bad, they go to hide in the islands of Lake Victoria, and very difficult to be found. When I grew up in that hard situation where people are still drinking water from the river flowing to the lake, it was a lot scaring, because people used to worship idols. My father used to offer sacrifices every year. In that situation, when it reached, I was in the age of 24 years, I was running away from home, going to Nairobi, our capital city, which is very difficult to reach by that period. The reason why I was running away from home, going to Nairobi, I was going to seek for a job. Then I was scared with the life, the situation in the home. I was running to die away. On my way going to home in that year, I decided to live in Nairobi. When it reached the year 1984, the month of April 26th, I met American missionary by the name called Lonnie A. Brooks. This man led me to the Lord Jesus Christ on that year. When he was preaching the word of God through the Roman road, simple way of salvation, the Spirit of God touched my heart, and I was convicted that I realized that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus Christ to come into my heart. That was the moment I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then I was taught assurance of salvation. The next day I was baptized. The same year, on the month of May 1984, the Lord opened my way to join Bible school. I studied in the Bible school up to 1989. After graduation, the Lord called me, and that call was heavy in such a way I could not resist. The call was pushing me to go back to the village. I went back to the village. When I went back to the village, the villagers, the community, they expect that I have a message, that I have a job. Now I'm going to help them. But I thank God because God, I went back with the good news, the word of God. As I reached home, I started to share testimony of salvation, how I come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in that home. But I met, during that period, I met strong opposition, especially from that well-known witch doctor. He organized a community to come and beat me to death, but God is good that my father was on my side because he already buried many children. He could not allow me to be beaten to death. That's how I got strength to share the testimony of the word of God in the village, and that's how I come to plant a Bible Baptist church in that region. As I continue preaching the word of God in the village, my relatives who used to live very far, when they heard that Joseph had come back, they traveled to come and see me, and I started to share with them the word of God, and they accepted. That's how we started to organize ourselves to start meeting under tree. As we continue meeting under tree, we meet under tree when it reached the mid-year of 1990. We already put a structure thatched with the grass. The same witch doctor organized a youth, and they burned that structure. I thank God because they did not burn the church. Later on, we organized our people to started proceeding with our meeting again. As we continue with serving the Lord God in that area, many people were coming and they traveled very far coming to meet. What we did, we used to follow them and start different Bible studies in different areas in that lake region. After a period of 13 years, when we reached in 2005, I joined Help Ministry when we already have 13 Bible studies in different places. When we joined Help Ministry, the Lord laid a burden into our heart to have a Bible school in that region, because this region is very far, a place where people cannot get where they can be trained to be grounded in the word of God. As we started to train this man of God in this area through the help, the support of Help Ministry to get some Bibles and material for learning in that area, first graduation, as we continue slowly by slowly, when you see the chart there, our first graduation, we graduated 30 men of God. And these 30 men of God, as they were called in their local areas, we helped them to plant Bible Baptist churches in their region, in their local areas. As that Bible study school was going on, second graduation, we graduated 20 men of God, and we helped them to plant Baptist churches in their local areas. Right now, that school is going on with 30 men of God studying the word of God, and we are expecting after their graduation, 30 more Baptist churches will be planted, and that lake, we also have some islands within the Lake Victoria. If you Google Lake Victoria, you'll see it is a large lake. We have some islands, six islands, where people used to hide there, and we go across the lake and meet them, those fishers, and we share with them the word of God. We are able to plant Baptist churches in those islands. So as we come to share our testimony with you, we are your reproduction. We thank God for this nation of America for sending missionaries. Thank you so much. Pray with us because people, souls are needs the, to be reached by the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though those hard areas, but the Lord has a good purpose to help these people to reach those areas. That's my testimony. Please pray for me. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor, for this privilege. Also, thank you, Brother Person. Thank you, all my former professors, for training me to be a good church planter. I'm planting churches and also leading souls to Christ. Thank you, church, for being my sending church. And God is doing so many great, great things in our life. My name is Peter Chimai, the graduate of 2008. I'm born and brought up from Far East India, just western part of Myanmar and South China and above Bangladesh and east of India. So I live in a state called Nagaland, just between about 3 billion people, a lot of people over there. So there are a lot of people. At the same time, India has a lot of gods and goddesses. India has 33 million gods and goddesses. For Bible college students, it'll be good to know. 33 million gods and goddesses, but all these gods and goddesses are blind and wicked, false god. So all the Indians and Chinese worship all these false gods. That's the reason they're also so bad. So in India, whenever a baby girl was born, it was the day that when parents decide whether a baby girl will die or live on the day a baby girl was born. Because this false god taught them to do so. So also whenever a man died, his widow wife had no option. She had to be burned alive. That is called sati. But praise God for a missionary, William Carey, came over and he preached the gospel. Right. And then he changed all these things. But today, India government is doing something bad again. They're promoting cows. If anybody saw disrespect to cow, they shall be killed. Cow worship is going on now, and also eating cow dungs and drinking cow urines are promoting by this Hindu government. So please continue to pray for India. I was born and brought up from Far East India. William Carey did not reach, so my forefathers were headhunters, continue to be headhunters. They cut the heads of one another and kick around. And then when it is rot, they hang up in the house. And then those are the things that I have seen when I was growing up. But these former headhunters are now soul hunters, church planters. So my state, Nagaland, is now 98% Christian in India. And also 95% are Baptists. And we are planting churches. I came over here and then graduated in 2008, and I returned home with the help of your prayers and support. We have planted 42 Baptist churches. Amen. And also we have two Bible colleges. One Bible college in Bhutan, many of you might not have heard, it is a Buddhist country. And also one Bible college in India, and two discipleship schools, one in Nepal, one in Himalayan mountains. So from this institution and colleges, so far we have produced 650 young preachers. They're preaching the gospel faithfully and planting hundreds of Baptist churches in the region. So please continue to pray for the ministry. Some of you might not have heard my gospel, my testimony. I was growing up among the headhunters, and I have seen all these human skulls hanging here and there. And then many times my father told me that somebody can take your head anytime. So over here, whenever a young man grow up, buy a ring and propose a girl. But over there, most of the young men have to cut the heads of someone and bring the head and propose a girl, will you marry me? That was some of the things that our forefathers do. Therefore, my head or your head, somebody's head, could be anyone's trophy for a, proposing a girl or maybe for some other things, or hang up in the house. So these are some of the things. So I was growing up, then a preacher came to my village in the year 1993, and he preached the gospel that Jesus came into this life and lived a perfect life and died a perfect death on the cross and rose again from the dead. And all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will go to heaven. And all those who deny and will not believe in Jesus will go to hell. That was a clear presentation he preached to us. And I was on my knee asking the Lord Jesus to forgive me my sin and to come into my life and to take me to heaven when I die. And he did. He saved me. And day by day, as I continue to read God's word, the Lord called me to preach the gospel. So I surrendered my life, committed my life to preach the gospel. So I went to Bible school, and then the Lord is using us greatly over there. And churches are planted, and in after migration from Landmark, so far our church, Bethlehem Baptist Church, we have baptized 8,150. 8,150 souls were baptized, and we don't know how many salvation, because we have given out seven millions gospel tract saved from Fellowship Tract League, Lebanon, and also hundreds of Bible from Bearing Precious Seeds. They shipped to us several containers. So continue to pray for us, and as we go out and give out God's word, many Buddhist monks live monastery, praise the Lord, and they are planting the churches. And also witch doctor came to the Lord, and they are planting the churches. The gospel is the power of God, and this gospel is what the whole world needs. And tonight for our meditation, I'd like to read with you Gospel John chapter 14, verse 6. I'll just give the outline of the sermon. Gospel John chapter 14, verse 6. Here is the word of God. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the word of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The whole world needs to know that Jesus Christ is the way. The whole world needs to know that Jesus Christ is the truth. The whole world needs to know that Jesus Christ is life. Because all these 33 million gods and goddesses in China and India and also the western part of Myanmar, these gods and goddesses are false gods and goddesses. They are teaching lies and deceptions and all those things. All these gods and goddesses are made by human hands. And they have eyes, but they cannot see the way. And they have legs, but they cannot walk. Because of this, so many lost people in that part of the world, about 3 million people are lost, just like a ship in a deep blue sea. They don't know the way. And then seeing all these hundreds and millions of gods and goddesses, Buddha was really fed up. Therefore, he left Hinduism, tried to find a way, and he went into the forest and go on meditation and meditation. Finally, before he died, Buddha said to Buddhists, don't follow me, I'm not the way. I don't find a way. So you go home and try to find your way to heaven. So nobody could find a way. But Jesus said here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, he knows the way. And the Bible says, without him, nothing was created. He is God who created everything. Therefore, he knows the way to heaven. Heaven is also created by him. This earth is also created by him. And all of us is created by him. Therefore, he knows the way. But all these other gods, 33 million gods and goddesses, are created by men.
So they don't know what is the way, where is the way. They are, these gods and goddesses are man-created gods and goddesses, therefore they don't know the way. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Jesus Christ was in the bosom of his Father, and he came down and took the flesh of man, just like you and I, lived a perfect life and die a perfect death on the cross of Calvary. And he opened the way for you and I to go to heaven. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the way. Buddha is not the way. Krishna is not the way. Allah is not. Muhammad is not the way. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven because he was God and made, became a flesh to die for your sin and for my sin on the cross of Calvary. None of the gods, none of these gods and goddesses in India, none of them die for man. But all of these gods and goddesses are bloodthirsty God. They demand blood, baby sacrifice, and all type of sacrifices. Secondly, Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. All other gods and goddesses are false gods. They are wicked gods. They are destroyers, they are demons, they are devils, they are evil gods. But only Jesus Christ is the truth. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Look at all these other gods and goddesses are not wonderful. They are not wonderful because they cannot move. You know, they cannot give any suggestion or give counseling to the people, but Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All these gods and goddesses cannot save us. Only those who know Jesus as the truth will set you free. And this Buddhist monk, you know, whenever we give the Bible, they read the Bible to find faults in the Bible. One of the Buddhist monks from Tibet, we gave him the Bible, and he said, I read Bible 3 months to find faults in the Bible, but I find Jesus. He came to our Bible college and trained, and he went back to Tibet now, the closed country. He has planted 7 Baptist churches in Tibet. Praise the Lord. A Buddhist monk who served in monastery for 17 years, serving Buddha, but he received a Bible and read and found Jesus. Jesus is the truth, and he was set free. He left monastery, and he became a preacher. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Ye shall know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. If anyone of us, if there is anyone who have not received Jesus Christ, you are lost. You are still in your sin. You are still under the boundaries of sin. So, in Bhutan, 2012, I was arrested for preaching and also planting churches and baptizing people. So I was produced before the royal family for December 4th, 2012. And the royal family, one of their sons said, okay, tell me what you used to do in Bhutan. I said, I preach the gospel. And he said, what is the gospel? I told him, can I say? He said, yes. I stood up and preached for 45 minutes that Jesus Christ loves Bhutanese. And this is the message I preached. I went through the plan of salvation, Romans wrote, and then finally he said, well, if you preach this gospel, prison in Bhutan will be empty, so you go home. So he sent me home, and he said, you never return again to Bhutan. I never return again. But my cousin surrendered to go to Bhutan, and he went over and start another Bible college in Bhutan. Praise the Lord, we are training church planters another preacher in Bhutan. See, this Bhutanese king brother, after hearing the gospel, he said, do you want me to become Christian? I told him, not me, but it is Jesus wants you to become Christian. And he, after knowing that, he said, this is the truth. And if you continue to preach this truth in Bhutan, all the Bhutanese will become Christian. But praise the Lord. After a few years' time now in Bhutan, one can register their name as Christian. Before, there was only Buddhists. Today in Bhutan, Bhutanese can write down their name as Christian because it has become a legal thing. Praise the Lord. So the king families know it and his brothers know it that Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus Christ can set them free. And finally, Jesus said, I'm the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the life. All these other gods and goddesses are dead. Krishna is dead. He is in a tomb. And Buddha is dead. He is in a tomb. And all these millions of gods and goddesses, good people that Indians call them gods and goddesses, they are still in the tomb. There are so many of their tombs that people are worshiping. But Jesus said that he is the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus rose again from the dead and he is life. And all those of us, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall believe in him, okay, should not perish. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Only in Jesus we have eternal life. Jesus is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto my Father but by me. This is the gospel, and people need to know. All the world needs to know this Jesus. Then how can we reach to the world? By prayer. We can pray for the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous. Pray. And those of you young people whom God calls you, you go. Pray, go. And those of you who cannot go, you can send, support young people to go so that the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be preached all over the world. Thank you, Pastor. Amen.
Let's bow our heads a moment and thank what we just heard. Brother Peter just shared the main thing with us. The main thing that the world needs. Except by the grace of God, we could have been born in an area like Peter, where head hunting was the thing. Yet Peter stands here and these other men stand here as a proof of God's love for everybody around the world. To let them hear the truth. To bring them out of the darkness into light and to know the Lord Jesus. Would you make just a little self-case out of it tonight? Except by the grace of God, we could have been born in those circumstances. Could still be in darkness. Could be tonight while we're sending missionaries all around the world with this truth and with the light. Somebody here right in our town, somebody here maybe even in this building tonight. You're not sure that you're saved. You've never received Christ. You may even be trusting in a false god. It may not be one of the million gods that Peter talked about in India, but maybe a god of your own self. Searching for wealth, pleasure, whatever it is that's controlling you. Could be a lot of things that they become gods when we let those hold us from the truth and from the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask we stand. I'm going to ask Brother Bert to lead us in an invitation song. Maybe God is speaking to somebody tonight and that you ought to just come to the altar and thank God that you were able to be raised in a Christian home, receive the light, the truth, be in a church like this. We're sending the gospel around the world because we are commanded to, because we see it works. Can you imagine Brother Peter right out of our college going over there and God using him like he is? If I understood him right, he preached to a very high authority over there. They admitted that if he preached that, it would pretty well change that island, change that land. Yes, it does. It makes new creatures. It changes our destination to heaven from hell. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, it'd be something for you to think about. You could have died lost in the dark corner of this old world somewhere, never heard about Jesus. If you've heard about him here and you haven't received him, then you have no excuse before God whatsoever. Brother Joseph was talking about how they had to sacrifice to the false gods, how his father had to offer those sacrifices in the darkness they were in. Brother Chad told us that every time he went to that deepest part of the ocean, he thought about how, yes, my sins are buried in a deeper part than this, and hell is deeper than this. Folks, when we ask you to give to missions, it's not a take or leave it thing. It's a command from the Lord. It makes a difference. What this church through the years has given to missions, you just think about it. How much difference has it made? You hear about the churches being started, the numbers being saved. These men are sharing with us tonight. It can all start right here with what you commit to missions. It's easy to get used to doing what we're doing. It's very important in the eyes of God and souls being saved. I believe, as Brother Mormon said a while ago, is there anything you can do for God that he don't notice? No, he notices. He knows. He keeps a record, a count. He knows about these men. He reached down and picked them up where they were and used them. I count it a real honor that Brother Peter found his way over to Landmark Baptist College and graduated in 208. College is a little bit in the background around here sometimes. Some of these students come and go, and maybe sometime we don't even get that, know that much about them, but God does. He brought them here on purpose to get what they got, to go back and share it. I believe it was Joseph said after the man led him to the Lord that God laid on his heart to go back. To go back, take that good news back to others. Man. And then the thought, we ought to pray. If we can, we ought to go. If we can't do either one, we can send. We can send. We can give. Been a good night for the beginning of our mission conference tonight. What I want you to do is go to these men and talk to them a little bit, especially you college students. If you get a chance, talk with them. Brother Peter sat where you're sitting. And if you want to know, what am I doing in college, it may be you're prepared to go do what God's used Brother Peter to do, and some of these others. Wow, it's a great testimony for us tonight from all three of these men. We're going to be kind of emphasizing a little bit on home missions tomorrow night. I want you to be here. Then Sunday, We'll be having the missionaries back with us. We'll have them in the Sunday school hour. And then Sunday night again. And Sunday night, we're going to be totaling up the goal for next year. This goal will probably not be reached till watch night service. Now, I'd love to see it reached next Sunday. It could be done. If everybody was obedient to what God spoke to them about, I believe it could be done. But the last offering on it will be the watch night service, and we're praying that we'll reach it or even go over it again. And then, so what are we going to do after that? We're going to do it again. Next year is just as important as this last year was. Souls still there to be reached, amen? And I'm proud that our church can have a part. We'll understand it better at the judgment seat. We'll understand it much better then. I'll tell you this, I never have gone to a deathbed of a, and these preachers will tell you the truth, I've never gone to the deathbed with somebody and heard them say, I'm so sorry I gave so much to the Lord. I don't think you'll ever hear that. I sure have heard the opposite, though. I've heard the opposite. The truth is, too late now to do. I wish I'd have done more. I've heard that. Boy, I've heard that. But the truth is, we have the opportunity now. Now. And I hope that we're doing our part and hope we're praying about it. Pray for tomorrow night. Pray for Sunday. That's our finale on our mission conference. Will be Sunday. And so you pray big about that. We'll be dismissed in prayer. And then I want you to shake hands with these men. And Brother Hector, we want in choir practice.
Yes, sir.
Choir practice also important. Sunday is coming. Brother Mormon, I want you to come up and dismiss us in prayer. And then we appreciate Brother Mormon driving the men around and looking after them. And then you take time to fellowship with them a little bit tonight.
Our Heavenly Father, we find it difficult to know how to thank you for this so great salvation you have given to us. Lord, we realize we're debtors. Someone told us, and we're to tell others, so help us, Lord. And Father, if you come before the end of the year, I pray you'll find us faithful at our post. If you come next year, I pray you'll find us faithful. We love you. We're in all of your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. It's his precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.